Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, folks. Chris Evans here with a very special edition of the Best of the Breakfast Show podcast with Sky from Virgin Radio with the awesome US actor Miles Teller telling it like it is, all about starring alongside Tom Cruise in the original Top Gun sequel, Top Gun Maverick.
He's wowed us in the Oscar-winning Whiplash, starred in a Taylor Swift music video, and this superstar certainly isn't slowing down. In fact, he feels the need for speed in one of the world's most long-awaited sequels, Top Gun Maverick. It's the mighty fine Miles Teller.
Good morning, Miles. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Virgin Radio. Welcome to the top of the tower.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So we broadcast our show from a higher position than you spend most of the film.
We were pretty low. This would be at the higher altitude that we filmed at, for sure.
Right. You've made some amazing films already. Of course you have. But what has it been like being part of Top Gun Maverick, for heaven's sake?
Right. I mean, it's just now, I think, starting to really hit me as far as the anticipation and the fan base. I mean, everybody talks about Marvel fans and comic book fans, but the Top Gun crew is ready. You know, they're loud and they're coming out in full force, and being able to kind of travel the world with Tom and see the fanfare that comes along with Tom Cruise. He's one of the most beloved, you know, stars we've ever had. So it's been really special.
Because no matter, you know, who he is and what he's done and what an amazing legacy he already has, and he's still very much around, he still puts the hours in, doesn't he? He still does all the heavy lifting and more. He's a great example of leadership.
For sure. And I think he just elevates everybody around him. He's the hardest working guy. He knows everybody's name on set. He always impressed upon me and everybody, you know, how important manners are. And there's ways to go about this business. But he leads from the front. And because he's actually, in this movie, doing all the flying, he's doing more flights than anybody. But also that really kind of embedded the new pilots with him as well, because he knew what we were going through. The director, none of the crew, they weren't up in these jets. It was a couple of us and then Tom. So he was really just a wonderful ally to have. And now I consider him, you know, a really close friend, which is nice.
How did you get the gig?
I just paid somebody. You just gotta know how to wet the bill.
All
the right
your family's
person.
Houses. Yes. Just get me in this film.
As many houses as I could sell, I did. So the director, Joseph Kaczynski, he and I worked on a film together. The title in the U.S. was Only the Brave. I'm not sure what it was here, or maybe it was the same, but it was about wildland firefighters. And apparently he met with Tom a while ago, and he brought him like a photo of me, and then he pitched this idea of Goose's son Rooster being kind of that thread storyline with Maverick and this and that. So I would say really it was Joe, and then I had to go audition for Tom and Jerry Bruckheimer, and then that was a pretty tight room.
And that must have been a few years ago now.
Yeah, I mean, so we shot it, we started filming it 4 years ago, and then we finished it 3 years ago. So yeah, I would say it was probably about four and a half years ago.
So you're just out of your 20s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which is why you look, because we said, you know, look, you know, you're 35 now, so, but he looks 28, 29 in this film. Well, because he was almost 28,
Well, also, 29. I think that's because I was so tan. Yeah. And I think if you're tan enough, it can hide some pain a little bit.
And also the sort of manifestation of your mustache. It's a youthful looking mustache in the film. Yeah. If you know what I mean, it's like one can barely grow a mustache in one's more tender years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, honestly, I have a lot of buddies that are in the Navy, and so that's called a boat stash. And you know, with that was something. I didn't feel like I really had to, you know, kind of imitate Goose in any way. But what is so important is that as soon as my character walks on screen, that, you know, even if you haven't read about it, you know, as soon as I walk into the bar, you're like, oh, my God, that's got to be Goose's
so
kid.
Good, man.
He's got the look and the Hawaiian shirt and a bit of that same, I think, kind of vibe in the beginning.
And he's got the honky-tonky piano skills and the karaoke skills.
Oh, yeah, man.
What a scene that is.
Yeah, that was, I'm glad I kept up with my piano a bit from when I was younger.
Oh, mate, that's such, you know, because there are flash, you know, we won't get, well, I'm not going to give it. How much did we give away?
Give that part away,
okay,
but yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
Okay. So cool. It's such a cool film.
But I do play and sing Great Balls of Fire in the
certainly
movie.
Do, my friend.
That,
you certainly
that we can
do. So Rachel is going to see the, she's going to go to the premiere on Thursday. Which they're already building the sort of infrastructure for outside Leicester Square. I've never seen that before. So every morning I run through Leicester Square.
Oh, nice.
And the Downton film, you know, they were building it the day before. This is 3 days before. That's a big build out there, man.
Well, it's Tom Cruise, I'd expect.
And it's
nothing
Miles
else.
Teller,
I mean,
and his Top Gun.
You saw him at the Jubilee. I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah, so that's when I've seen the film. Rachel hasn't seen the film. She's taken a 13-year-old on his birthday to go and see the film.
Perfect.
Which is awesome.
It's a great age for it.
Of course, now he was doing his homework at the weekend, so he watched the original Top Gun.
Okay.
So you say there's a fan base out there, but there's all these new fans as well. I mean, this is why it could be one of the biggest films of all time.
That's what I think, too. I agree with you.
And Rachel was saying he couldn't believe there wasn't any CGI.
Yeah, so we watched the original and then we watched the trailer for the new one.
Yep.
And I was telling him there's no CGI. They are flying those planes.
Yeah.
He just could not get his head around
it.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what I mean. And that was a big reason. Tom has said ever since 1986 when the original came out that people have been asking him when he was going to do a sequel, And he just never felt like it needed to be a franchise by any means. But one of the biggest things for him to be able to do this next one, he said the technology has to be there. And he said, we're going to be up in the jets for real. Everybody's going to be up in the jets. And I think when Paramount first heard that they were going to put a bunch of actors in F-18s with Top Gun pilots and we're going to film it, I think they thought it was impossible. But I don't think that word, I don't think Tom knows the definition of, impossible or something that can't be done. He really just sees it as just the details haven't been worked out yet.
Yeah, so I've actually driven a couple of Top Gun pilots around in cars around the original Top Gun airbase.
Okay.
And one of them threw up in the passenger seat, right?
Wow.
Because motion sickness can affect different people in different ways, especially if
absolutely.
You're not behind the controls. And we caught it on film and he said, please don't broadcast this because I'll never live it down.
Yeah.
For people who are listening who do suffer from motion sickness, can you give us any tips, please, Miles?
I mean, I don't know. I think it's that what they said, at least when they're training us, they're like, either you have G tolerance or you don't. And so
tell us about the G's, tell us about the speed, tell us about the dive, tell us about the acrobatics.
Sure. So we were training when we were going up in the F-18s. I think we were maxing out at about 7.5 G's. At 7.5 G's, you're experiencing 1,500 pounds of force of pressure. So even just to move your head from like 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock takes an immense amount of strain and effort. I think what I've been saying is like I think my college drinking years trained me for being able to keep it together.
All right.
A little bit.
How many hours have you racked up?
In the F-18, I mean, it's probably close to 30 hours in all of the planes combined. I mean, I don't know, 60, 70. But just for reference, one of the guys, Glenn Powell, he was able to get his pilot's license pretty soon after finishing because we had all the hours. It was just about you have to pass a test and then do some kind of solo flights. But yeah, a lot of hours.
What did you learn about yourself up there?
I don't know. You know, just that you get to a point, because we would usually go up for about an hour and 20 minutes, and the first 30 minutes, the adrenaline's going, and you're legitimately having a pretty good time. And then after that, the nausea sets in, but you just have to keep going, because you're not returning to base until the fuel's gone, pretty much.
Yeah, from you on the plane for a good while. One of the signature sort of memories from both films, is the I don't know if the Ray-Ban aviators, so I don't know what the official sunglasses are
right.
that all the Top Gun pilots wear, but all yours are wonky. Now, that's on purpose, isn't it? Because you have people who look after these.
Yeah.
And they're not straight because they don't want it to be the perfect sort of
look. I think that might be my nose. Oh, no, the other day
Tom's is wonky as well. Is that a thing?
Okay, I don't know. But the other day my stylist was like, no, I think you just have like an uneven face. So.
Well, in which case, I'm sorry to put
We'll say it was on purpose.
But I thought it was. Did you get to ride the Kawasaki Ninja?
I did not, though. My character drives an old Bronco, which is actually pretty similar to the one I have in real life. I have a 75 baby blue Bronco that's very similar to the one in the movie.
Which is gorgeous,
yeah,
by the way. Any tips for people looking for a secondhand Bronco? What do we look out for? What can go wrong with the Bronco?
I mean, so much. I mean, mine was like, we took the whole thing off the frame and really just... Because there's so much... Even if they look good on the outside, there's a lot of muscle there, so you really have to... There's usually a lot of rust that you're not seeing.
Okay. So ahead of the premiere, you're here for a couple more days.
Yeah.
This is a global tour, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
What's that like?
It's pretty exciting, man. There was a portion of it that originally I was going to go do that I'm not. But yeah, I mean, we're down at, we had San Diego, and then we're in Mexico City, and then we're here and we're going to Cannes. And yeah, I mean, I've never been a part of a movie of this size, and you just realize that these really big movies, that they can cross all kind of cultural and language barriers, and that they're just excited. I love getting out of wherever I'm from or wherever I'm living at the time.
You're all great in it. The cinematography is great in it. It's all good, good, good. Can I just say three words to you though?
Yes.
Script. Script, script. The script is so tight.
I know,
I
know.
It's so tight, isn't it?
Yeah, the quality control when you're working with Tom is there, and the amount of time. I mean, he would often bring us into his, into his trailer, and we would, whenever we went through the script, we always started at the beginning, and we went all the way through. Even if we were just looking at one line in one scene, that's like the 17th scene of the film, you always start from the beginning, go all the way through. And we had a lot of great writers, and Chris McCory, who has been, such an asset to us. And then with Tom, he's worked with Tom many times. And from top to bottom, you're just working with, the tip of the spear, people that absolutely are the best at what they do.
I love it when the scenes are so pared down from a script point of view.
Yeah. Well, it makes your job so much easier, too.
Yeah, but you can hear all the words that were left behind.
Yeah.
And the lightness of touch, which gives you the profundity, which says it all.
That's a great word. That's the
take
word
it
of
with
the
you,
day.
My friend,
who had,
take it
who
with
had
you.
That on their bingo card, profundity?
Just before, I know you pushed for time. Just tell us about Val Kilmer. Because he's in all the papers.
Yeah, Val, he was on set a decent amount. I think people, if they've seen his documentary or not, are probably a bit aware of kind of what he's been dealing
it's
with.
It's really worth watching.
Health-wise, but Val's somebody as an actor that I've always admired. And so seeing him and Tom, and we have a couple guys that were in the original that would stop by on set. And so that was nice, man. It was like a high school reunion for those guys. They worked together, and 30 some years ago, and then to reprise their roles or just to be on set, it was just a great feeling.
Before you go, let's set it up. So Rooster and Goose. Rooster is Goose's son.
Yes.
For people who haven't seen the original film, and everybody's going to catch up. I think, it doesn't really matter, does it? Do you watch the first one if you haven't seen it before you go and watch the second one? Or do you watch the second one and then enjoy the first one, wondering what may have happened from what you've already seen? And I've said on the air, for the last 7 days, you may have heard about it, the fact we've been raving about it. And Paramount are so
happy. Don't be embarrassed about that.
No, Paramount are so
don't
happy.
Don't be shy about
it's
that.
It's like we're being paid millions to direct this. And you've done all this for like a Diet Coke and a preview screening. I said no, because I just love the film. As far as the relationship between Goose and Rooster, just set it up for us if you don't mind.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, so I play just to set up the film, it takes place 30 some years later after the original. It kind of follows the true timeline of how much time has passed, and it opens with Maverick, and you see what Maverick's been up to in the
which is brilliantly rebellious, isn't it? I forgot about that bit.
Yeah. It's so
Mac
good.
Mac 10, everyone.
So it's kind of the time in between, and then it opens with Maverick, see what he's doing, and then he has a meeting with Ed Harris, and Ed Harris lets him know where he's going, and where he's going really is to, there's a new group of pilots. We're all already been through Top Gun, so it's not like the original, we're Top Gun graduates, and you know, we need, there's a mission that we've been called in for, and Tom's going to be the guy to, you know, see us through.
And it's not a sequel. It's not a sequel. I think it's a therapy session for what happened in the first movie. That's what it doesn't have that sequelness about it.
No, I know.
It's different. It's just different. It's a part two. It's a, you know, it was the film that we didn't know existed, but obviously always did in some people's minds. And thankfully, you've all brought it to life. I can see your team here who've come with you. You all look like you've been working really hard.
Well,
over
it's the jet lag. Some of them didn't go to bed till about 5 a.m. And then we're in my room at, you know, 7 a.m.
Yeah,
so
what are you going to do?
That's it. Business.
Well, give my love to your mum, dad, and your sister. Have
Will
a
do.
Great week here, and congratulations, Miles.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's really fantastic.
Thank
it's
you.
Fantastic.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Miles Teller. How great is he? Thank you so much for listening. And if you do like what you're hearing, please remember to rate this episode and review it. And also, why not listen back to some of our other podcasts from Dawn French and even Matthew McConaughey. All right. Adios. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.